History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Revival happening in this country right now, Lawrence, and praise God. As it says in the scriptures, blessed are you who are persecuted for me, or for telling the truth, or for righteousness. It says that in both Matthew and Luke. We are seeing Gen Z go back to church in record numbers. Mm-hmm. We are seeing a Christian revival that should give everyone in this audience hope. It's the greatest news happening in America right now.
Amen. Absolutely. And good morning.
Yes, good morning, Tara.
Amen and good morning. And no, he was not exaggerating. The Charlie Kirk effect, still real, still seen in my church. I don't know about yours. In terms of young people coming in who were not there before, in numbers we have not seen before, you can document the Charlie Kirk effect with math. And I think there in that clip, Charlie Kirk, right before he died, was talking about the beginning of a trend that did begin before his assassination. Yes, but it put it on steroids. Bible sales. Year he died, all time high. Bible sales the month he died, September 2025. Hit an all-time high and continued up from there. Bible sales in the month of September 2025 up 36% from September 2024. As much as 15% increase in college mass attendance of TP, you know, TPUSA chapters. They were already there on colleges. Those numbers jumped. And I said at the time, Lee, you know, there's going to be some people who are sort of moved by this assassination who will, you know, maybe go to church. They haven't before. Will seek out faith or, you know, to join TPUSA, get involved. They hadn't before. And a lot of them will fall away. But some, over time, some will stick.
Yes. The parable of the seeds.
Yes. Some will stick. And so Charlie Kirk changed the world. And he changed his country. And this is a great day to remember that. But Lee, a lot of people don't understand this part of it. They think of Charlie Kirk as this, you know, kind of cool guy who had the courage to go debate people on college campuses. And Charlie Kirk loved to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not where Charlie Kirk really made a difference. And people don't really know that. Charlie Kirk, and this is what people don't know, and I kind of always been frustrated by it. Charlie Kirk, if Democrats could make a list of 10 people that they could, you know, blink their eyes like genie and they'd disappear from the earth, Charlie Kirk could have been in the top five.
Probably multiple times.
Yes, because Charlie Kirk was a grassroots organizing genius. Mm-hmm. What Barack Obama only talked about doing and played at doing in Chicago, Charlie Kirk did. You can make a pretty good grassroots argument, and I'm a wonk, okay? So, like, I follow all of this and have for years. You can make a pretty good argument that without two people, Donald Trump is not the president. One of them is Charlie Kirk, and the other one is Elon Musk. And the two of them took what was an absolute disaster in terms of organization, the Republican Party, which I think deliberately was allowed to fall into disaster by Ronna Romney McDaniel, head of the RNC. Trump left her there for a long time. There was a massive grassroots campaign to get rid of her. At her peak, she was spending more money on jets, plastic surgery for herself, and on flower arrangements than she was on updating voter files. In other words, voter recruitment. She was doing no voter recruitment of any kind. And the Republican Party had fallen to third in registration behind Democrats and unaffiliated. Across the country, Charlie Kirk in the roughly 2 years before that election was, yes, going into campuses, but there was a mathematical reason for it. He was going in, getting all of these digital data from these kids on campus, finding them who were Republican or receptive to his message, getting them on a text program and using it to branch out to their friends. He would walk into a state and walk out too late. Two weeks later, you'd see the registrations go up 5,000. Young people, young voters. He was doing this across swing states systematically, if you look where he was. The fact that he was in Utah when he was assassinated was actually unusual for him. And if you look at his operation, he was running a $100 million, still is, still exists, $100 million a year voter targeting and turnout operation. He had ground troops numbering 7,000. His operation in the swing states surpassed the Republican parties. People don't understand this. And if you go on X today, like every third ad on X is what? It's his voter turnout operation. And Charlie Kirk was right there at the helm of really pushing the Republican Party over with the turnout part of the operation. Elon Musk gets in there and he puts it on steroids, particularly in Pennsylvania. I don't know if you remember all that. I mean, he was going doing rallies himself, offering $1 million if you were the right, you know, person to spend. And when you look across what happened over that roughly 18-month period, but really in that last 9 months, when Ronna Romney McDaniel, who I think was sent there to lose, that's why she tried to take a job at MSNBC after. That's who she realized. She was a Democrat. When you look at what Charlie Kirk did with Elon Musk, the two sides of that, Kirk, the turnout genius, who was also a registration genius, and then Elon Musk, who put that last minute, you know, roughly $500 million all told effort. I mean, we saw things we've never seen before. Pennsylvania went Republicans in third place in registration, unaffiliated second, Democrats first, to flipping that, Republicans first, unaffiliated second, Democrats third. You want to know why John Fetterman was groveling at that convention last night? A guy married to an illegal immigrant, okay? That was his claim to fame. Hardcore leftist groveling at the Republican convention last night. Three names, because he's from Pennsylvania: Charlie Kirk, Elon Musk, and Scott Pressler. Because those three guys looked at the grassroots of the Republican Party, where it had been decided that we would lose by the globalist Bush wing, that, well, you know, we're never going to get our, you know, we're only going to decline now. There's, you know, party registration is not very popular and everyone wants to be unaffiliated. So let's just give up and spend more money on flower arrangements for high rolling globalist donors. And these guys, meanwhile, Lee, were in the grassroots doing the work. Here's the thing, too. When you look at Trump, okay, and why Trump won in 2016, Trump was a genius at getting hits, clicks, and likes. That's why the FBI had to censor him, right? That's why he had to do that. Trump had no ground game of any kind, no turnout game. But remember, he outnumbered Hillary by a factor of 10 in hits, clicks, and likes. And I said in that month after that election, they are going to censor us. They have no other choice. And sure enough, we saw that after that. We saw brutal censorship crackdown for the first time in the United States of America. And Trump never did build the grassroots. He let Ronna Romney McDaniel there. He's got had a huge blind spot for her. I like to think I had a little bit about getting her kicked out. I had a tweet that I put out that went viral, got millions of views, and then other accounts started sharing it, saying, like, we are going to lose. This woman is trying to take us down. We got rid of her. We got the guy currently running in North Carolina, the head of the RNC. He still wasn't getting it done. The pressure was massive on Trump. So he had to send Lara Trump in there to babysit these morons. Now that guy's running for Senate up in North Carolina. But between those things, I like to think I did that one little thing with getting that tweet to go viral to get people to understand Ronna Romney McDaniel is not trying to win. She is trying to lose. And so we had a situation, Lee, where Charlie Kirk, Elon Musk, and Scott Pressler saved this country because Trump did not have a turnout machine and he did not have a voter registration machine. So all of that shock and awe that he had going there was not convertible, but for those three men. So I could make a very serious ground game argument that without Charlie Kirk and the work that he did over those 2 years that gradually built, I don't know that we would have had a big enough turnout operation, which, by the way, in the end, wasn't really run by the Republican Party still to this day, to put Trump over the top. And they were going to cheat again. I mean, they were absolutely were. It's just we had such a groundswell. We overcame the cheating. We swamped it. So Charlie Kirk saved this country in more ways than one. And you're seeing it today. And I mean to go on about it, Lee. Want to get your take on the anniversary of Charlie Kirk. What does that mean to you?
It's sadly to me, though, it shows how effective he was, because you have got Democrats on the ground now trying to stop a memorial to him.
Yes.
At the site of his death,
mm-hmm.
where he was viciously assassinated by a left-wing liberal assassin.
Yeah, he's a martyr.
Yes. And the once again, you know, like the old saying in World War II, you know, when you start seeing the flak, you know you're over the target. And I think that the Charlie Kirk attention that he got from Democrats, and also for Elon Musk, and you see what they've done to Elon Musk, who should be one of their priests or oracles,
yeah.
because of his electrification and science and all the other things, and the fact that he is basically an African American, because he is from South Africa,
right.
So he is an African American, and it's like these are the two people that they have targeted and defiled, and in Charlie's case, at least, if nothing else, encouraged to be assassinated. And that shows you the effectiveness when you become the prime target. You know that you're doing something right.
And they went to such great lengths to cover up, Lee. I mean, there was a poll a few months after Charlie Kirk's death, and majorities of Americans still believe that Tyler Robinson was a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how hard they went to work on the country to hide the fact that they had killed him.
Well, isn't that the playbook they use every time there's a Trump assassination attempt?
They're always leftists.
Always try to say, oh, that's a right-wing Republican. That's somebody that's one of his supporters is just angry with him. And it never turns out to be true.
So Charlie Kirk changed the country, and the machine he left behind is still changing the country. It's still in really great hands. It just tried to actually get Ralph Norman elected in this state. So they are knee deep in the grassroots here. And one of the reasons that you're hearing these commercials, I mean, I see Charlie Kirk's legacy every day. One of the reasons you're hearing these commercials right now on this station, they are spending money to try to trick you into opposing closing those primaries to Democrat voting, is we put the hurt on them. And Charlie Kirk's organization was absolutely part of that. And, you know, when you have the head of Charlie Kirk's organization now, his big grassroots guy, warning in a tweet, hey, you in South Carolina, you got to get these Democrats out of your primaries. You're never going to be free of these people. Your Democrat Party de facto controls your state. You got to get those primaries closed. You got to turn them out. They listen to this station. They all listen. We're a threat to them now. And the work done by Charlie Kirk's organization, the actual grassroots work, which we can't do here at this show when we fight for freedom every day, has made a difference in this state, and it'll continue. It's going to continue to make a difference in this country. And by winning, Lee, and we're going to get into this today with Nike and everything, by winning, we were censored and suppressed. Our side, our freedom-loving, individual liberty-loving side, was suppressed culturally by getting the Democrats out of the way. We're back in the culture now. And we gain. Charlie Kirk put us on that path to freedom. So this day is about remembering that and understanding, and this is the important part, why we win. And most importantly, what Charlie Kirk, Elon Musk, and Scott Pressler taught us, we can win. Donald Trump taught us that too.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Folks, this situation we have right now is like nothing I have ever seen. Yesterday, Donald Trump, Republican, I don't know what you call it, convention? He's up there. He did a great job yesterday. It's Trump at his best. And it's what Trump should have been doing for months now, crisscrossing the country, just telling voters the story that I tell you every day in our you know, our whole station, we talk about, I mean, the incredible victories that Trump has had that people don't know, including on our side. I'm worried it's a little too late. Been begging for a war room. We still don't have one. And this is what's so frustrating. This is such a great message. When you look at our accomplishments, they're unbelievable. And the trajectory we are on, particularly with manufacturing, with countries investing in this country. You know, I saw a tweet the other day, and it was someone on our side, a decent sized account too, whining and complaining that they were incredibly frustrated. Nobody they knew we were voting. I mean, Trump promised us a wall and he can't even deliver that. And I just went, what? The wall's funded. You know, we have complete funding for the wall, right? And you know, the Democrats cannot stop it. The contracts are let. We complete more miles of it every day. It's wall's done. It'll be incomplete in 2028 before Trump leaves office. We won that fight. We won it in a big, beautiful bill. Nobody knows. Nobody has any idea. Do the folks on our side even understand? He has militarized that border. It's never been militarized before. We're at zero crossings. It gets better every day. The Epoch Times did an incredible article on how we're using space technology, including through Space Force, because he militarized the border, to make it impenetrable. Nobody knows. We've never had a safer border before. We've never been safer before as a country. How many illegals went out the door? 3 million. Just shy of 1 million physically deported, some of those dangerous people on Earth, including 1,900 terrorists, actual terrorists that Joe Biden let in. Nobody knows. The other 2 million, the people I'm more interested in, then 2.1 million have deported themselves. In the face of this, we have set deportation records in the last couple of months. I don't think people know this. And it's because Trump has refused to create a war room. He wanted to do all the messaging himself because it did work very well for him in 24. But what he forgets is 2024, he was disciplined. He was on the teleprompter. He allowed them to control him and craft his message. I hadn't been on the teleprompter in a long time, and he forgets to deliver the message. He thinks people know that he does this stuff. He had no clue. And I'm afraid he misinterprets that as, oh, people heard me. They just don't like what I'm doing. I'm going to change course. No, people don't know what you're doing. So this was great yesterday. We needed to start this 6 months ago. And I don't know if we'll have time before the midterms. I really, really don't. And that is a damn shame because, man, has he done some great stuff. I mean, if we could just get one more four-year term with someone who will continue the Trump work, it doesn't change a country for a generation. And people don't know. People don't know. Don't miss what's happening right now, okay? This is a big deal. John Thune, a truly and thoroughly evil human being who we have not managed to eject from the leadership of the Senate, nasty individual, had the unmitigated gall to show up at the Republican convention yesterday. He didn't speak. They didn't have him on the speaker's list. Why? He's so reviled and hated by Republicans, it would probably depress turnout, but he had the unmitigated gall to show up as if he's a member of the party. And this happened. Trump, who has been at odds with John Thune, because Thune has utterly betrayed him in protecting the Democrat fraud machine. We could end the Democrat China fraud machine anytime we want, which got past the SAVE Act. We could do it using the filibuster that has been in the original filibuster, has been in place since the founding of the country. These are not hard things. But Thune has blocked it. He would not let it out of committee for 300 days, him and Mitch McConnell's corpse, another evil individual, to keep the Democrat fraud machine in place. And that's remarkable, given the evidence that has been put in front of John Thune's face in the last 3 months. The very declassified FBI files where the FBI is assessing, yes, China is hacking boards of elections. Yes, they're using the internal data to create 19,000 driver's licenses that we caught them, fake driver's licenses, that we caught them shipping into the country to Chinese nationals. Why? To steal the election for Joe Biden. Not my assessment, the FBI's. How do you stop it with the SAVE Act? John Thune has fought it to the hilt. Now, I understand why Mitch McConnell's corpse fought it, because Mitch McConnell is owned by China. That's just the next step in his treason. Who owns John Thune, though, is an open question. We could tell it's somebody evil, though, from his actions. John Thune, just sitting in the audience, Trump acknowledged him last night. The audience booed him.
And John Thune is here from the Senate. Where's John? Where's John? No, no, John is working hard. He's got great opposition. He's got great opposition from the Democrat Schumer and these guys. They're terrible.
That's not true, and Trump knows that. Trump knows that. He should have just ignored the booze and gone on. Don't gaslight. John Thune, Mitch McConnell's corpse, which runs the Senate Leadership Fund. Thune has taken that over from McConnell's corpse. And Tim Scott, who runs the Republican National Senatorial Committee, are currently sitting on over $500 million. They won't spend it. They won't spend it. John Thune acknowledged on Fox News that we can't win without Texas, and Texas is highly winnable. Abbott won it by 10 points. Yes, Ken Paxton's a little more controversial, but only because the Bush machine tarred him with lies. And then fake tried to impeach him. He won, by the way. They partnered with Democrats to do that. So John Thune has decided to try to help Democrat socialists win. He's sitting on $500 million and he won't spend it. He's holding that money hostage with help from our Senator Tim Scott. Shame on you, by the way. So to save the country, who is stepping in? When the Republican leadership of the Senate, now don't confuse them with the leadership of the House. Leadership of the House is great. We got no problems there. It's the leadership of the Senate, the last remaining gasp for air of the evil Bush globalist regime. They believe if they can get a win for Democrats, they can broom these Republicans out and come back with their open borders, world government nastiness. And who steps into the breach? Think about this. The Republican parties. Control of Congress is in John Thune's hands, and he won't spend a dime. It's treasonous. Helping the Chinese to steal this election best he can. Blocking the SAVE Act. Who steps into the breach? Elon Musk. God bless Elon Musk. Who said yesterday, America is toast if the radical left wins. Yes, John Thune knows that. He don't give a damn. Elon Musk all in the midterms. Thank God. This guy is having to spend his money while we're sitting on $500 million. Because Republican leadership, the few that still control the money, shame on you, Senator Tim Scott. You got $58 million. You could save this country. Don't think you're fooling anybody. And he won't spend it on Paxton. No, he wants Paxton to raise money for him while he loses. Tallarico in Texas, easily beatable candidate. Already had almost $40 million spent on his behalf. And Ken Paxton had $1.2 million spent on his behalf. Elon Musk just dropped $10 million on him. He's vowing to spend $100 million in the next 8 weeks. What it's going to take to save his country. While Thune fritters away our freedom, looks at socialists like Hassan Piker, who has recruited every one of these candidates in the Democrat Party we're running against, a guy who says our capitalist blood should run red in the streets. That's me and you. That's capitalists. Run red in the streets. And John Thune is fine with that. And he was rightly booed last night. Trump should just got out of the way. Thune is a lizard. Thank God for Elon Musk. Thank God for Elon Musk. And what is Elon Musk doing right now? He's spending his money smartly on voter turnout operations for low propensity Republican voters to try to get them out. Spending more, by the way, than the Republican National Committee or the Republican Senatorial Committees. Unbelievable. Folks, can you imagine if you were a Carolina Panther And you're like, well, we're paying the Dallas Cowboys, and they're probably a better team. I'm just gonna stay on the sidelines today and maybe cheer a little bit for them in the background. How would football fans react? Well, that's how you ought to react to these treasonous snakes. Thank God for Elon Musk. Anna Paulina Luna saying John Thune shouldn't be at the GOP's midterm convention. He's sitting there pretending like he's a Republican, withholding the money that we need to control the Senate so that Elon Musk has to step up and spend it in Texas. John Thune admitting Republicans cannot win control of the Senate unless we elect Paxton. That would mean electing a conservative who wants freedom and individual liberty for Americans. John Thune cannot allow that. They are globalists. They want world government. They want open borders. Not spending a dime. Willing to let Texas fall to the people who are very clear they want capitalist blood to run in the streets. He's good with that. Can't take it any other way. And that's why Representative Anna Paulina Luna, and again, John Thune is the evil Republican head of the Senate. Okay, the guys in the House are good. They've done a great job. Those Republicans are fine. It's not all of Republican leadership. John Thune booed by name last night. His name was mentioned by Trump, the crowd booed. They know he's trying to help the Democrats steal this election. They know that. Blocking the SAVE Act. Representative Anna Paulina Luna, she's a member of the House, said on Wednesday, Majority Leader John Thune should have stayed away from the Republican midterm convention. We have leaders who have their hands, including Tim Scott, on $500 million, and they won't spend it to win. That is unbelievable. These people will put them in prison so fast. I don't think he should be here, Luna told the Washington Examiner during the brief interview. He's the reason we don't have the Save America Act. Yes? And he'll be the reason we lose the midterms. He'll be the reason we lose the midterms. If I were Trump, I would not have defended Thune last night. I would have just kept going. Let the audience boo. Let him get it out. Let him have shame.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.